This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Silence on two fronts. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, August 11th, glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
Justice and the FBI have been mum about the raid on the home of former President Trump. Meanwhile, Trump took the Fifth at a separate deposition.
Inflation has come off its recent highs, with gas, used cars, clothing, and airline tickets all down in July. But grocery and beer prices are still rising.
A massive explosion at a house in Indiana damaged more than three dozen other homes, killing three people.
And on a lighter note, the new way to save a few bucks, buying used workout clothing.
These items, you know, were skin to skin with somebody else, especially when you're talking about like workout clothes that somebody sweated in. You know, you have to kind of overcome that gross factor of thinking that somebody sweated in these clothes before.
Suzanne Kapner at the Wall Street Journal on shoppers overcoming the ick factor and where they draw the line on used clothing. Despite days of finger-pointing, speculation, and global news coverage following the FBI search of former President Trump's home in Palm Beach, Florida, there's been not a word from the Justice Department or the Bureau. The result? The public is in the dark about basic facts and key questions that the operation raised in one of the most controversial and high-profile FBI actions in years. That's allowed politicians to fill the quiet. South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott.
One of the things that we hope for from FBI, one of the premier law enforcement agencies in the country, is an apolitical approach.
Yahoo News says at the core of the latest twist is a belief that Republican voters have been re-energized by the view that the deep state is out to get Mr. Trump while giving a pass to Hunter Biden and Hillary Clinton. Leading Republicans want an explanation from Attorney General Merrick Garland. Prominent Democrats have said they want the Justice Department to pursue its investigation without interference. In another investigation of former President Trump, he says he has declined to answer questions from the New York Attorney General's office during his deposition in its civil fraud investigation into his company's financial dealings. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
In a statement, Mr. Trump said he was following the advice of his counsel to assert his right under the Fifth Amendment to not answer questions yesterday. Since 2019, State Attorney General Letitia James has been investigating whether Mr. Trump and his company made false statements to banks, tax authorities, and insurers in order to get loans, insurance coverage, and tax deductions. Mr. Trump and his company have denied wrongdoing. He has said Ms. James, a Democrat, is motivated by politics. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The transactions relate to properties including Seven Springs, which is an estate north of New York City, also Mr. Trump's apartment in Trump Tower in New York City, and 40 Wall Street, which is an office building in Lower Manhattan. The FBI's stunning search of former President Trump's Florida home was legally justifiable to the judge who approved it, but the move could be viewed as an abuse of power so damaging to the Bureau's credibility that it may never recover. That's what some former FBI agents are saying. Jeff Mordock, White House reporter at The Washington Times, has been speaking with them. Jeff, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I've talked to some former agents, and they do say that the raid at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate was justifiably legal, that it met all of the check marks it needed to carry out a legal raid, but they also say it raises a lot of questions about abuse of power, that typically in classified information cases, which this apparently is, white collar cases, there's usually a plan between the FBI and the person under scrutiny's lawyers to turn over the documents or meet, that it takes a lot for it to reach the stage to have 30 FBI agents swarm a house this early in the morning.
Wow. Okay. So, as you position it, as one analyst said, it's legally sound, but an abuse of power. So what could happen, I guess, at this point?
Well, at this point, it remains to be seen because there's still so many questions out there. We still don't know what the search warrant is for. We're not, you know, I've talked to people, sources who have said this is about the documents that were supposed to, that should have been sent to the National Archives that went to Mar-a-Lago. But we don't know that with 100% certainty. The FBI and DOJ have been mum about this. So we still have so many questions we need to answer, I think, before we start figuring out what the next steps are.
Hmm. All right. So based on that, we haven't heard from Justice. We haven't heard from the FBI. The White House has been silent, other than to say that President Biden was not given a heads up about this. Do we need to hear something at this point, or is that just a legal matter?
We absolutely need to hear something, because this goes beyond just a typical legal matter, because it involves a former president of the United States. I know the Justice Department and FBI can't say much. I mean, if they're a search warrant, it is an active federal investigation. They're usually mum, but this silence is just allowing Republican accusations of bias and partisanship to exist out there without any challenge to it. And pretty soon, that's going to start becoming the narrative, well, actually, it's already become the narrative, that the FBI is not going to be able to push back. Attorney General Merrick Garland or FBI Director Christopher Wray does need to come out, and they need to advocate for, they need to show more transparency in this case. There's just too many unanswered questions for them to stay silent.
Mm. We're speaking with Jeff Mordock, White House reporter at the Washington Times. All right, so this Kevin Brock, former FBI Assistant Director of Intelligence, he spoke to, said the FBI has been at a tipping point since the Comey-McCabe false Russian collusion investigation. So the FBI's public stance, or its stance among lawmakers at this point, is, how would you characterize it, Jeff, still damaged?
I would say the FBI's reputation is in tatters, and not just with lawmakers on the Republican side, because we've seen a lot of Democrats come out and criticize this raid. Andrew Cuomo, Andrew Yang, two people who are no fans of President Trump, have come out and decried this raid. And there's been this history of political bias that we have seen from the FBI that, when you look at the evidence, seems to unfairly target people on the right. And it goes everywhere from, you know, a former FBI lawyer lied changed evidence so that the Bureau could continue to surveil a Trump campaign associate in 2016, to using counterterrorism methods to surveil, to monitor parents who are angry at school board hearings about local education issues, to a FBI whistleblower came out a couple weeks ago to say that the agents in the Bureau conspired to undermine the Hunter Biden probe. There always seems to be a narrative towards anti-Republican, to targeting Republicans, with these allegations of bias, and this is something that's just only going to fuel that. And, you know, that's really going to resonate in the minds of half of this country.
Does that change at this point? Let me rephrase it. Do the accusations of political weaponization change? Let's say, I don't know, there's a complete sweep and Republicans are in control, at least of the of the houses on Capitol Hill come January. I presume the other side would make similar allegations?
I think what will happen is, if the Republicans do take that, do sweep both houses, which is a possibility, I think we are going to see so many, and Kevin McCarthy, House Minority Leader, has already said this, we're going to see so many investigations into the FBI and into the Justice Department.
There's Jeff Mordock, White House reporter at the Washington Times.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. At least three people have been killed following a house explosion in Evansville, Indiana. The blast was so powerful that 39 other homes suffered some damage from mild to severe. It happened just before 1 p.m. yesterday. Evansville Fire Chief Mike Connolly says some of the homes were damaged so severely that they were not safe to enter. He says a search for more victims will resume today.
The Building Commission has identified 11 buildings that are uninhabitable.
The American Red Cross will be helping those affected families. The cause of the explosion, which erupted on North Weinbach Avenue, has not been determined. Denny Koster was close to the blast.
It was pretty severe. Sounded like a car ran through one of our buildings or a truck. I didn't know what happened.
Utility company CenterPoint Energy arrived and made the area of the blast safe and said that its equipment did not detect any natural gas. Evansville, by the way, is about 3 hours southwest of Indianapolis. It's 20 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden, whose elder son Beau died of cancer years after deploying to Iraq, has signed legislation expanding federal health care services for millions of veterans who served at military bases where toxic smoke billowed from huge burn pits.
When they came home, many of the fittest and best warriors that we sent to war were not the same. Headaches, numbness, dizziness, cancer.
The law caps a years-long battle to ensure treatment for chronic illnesses that veterans have blamed on burn pits, which were used to dispose of chemicals, tires, plastics, medical equipment, and human waste on military bases.
Number two.
Donald Trump says he declined to answer questions from the New York Attorney General's office during his deposition in its civil fraud investigation into the financial dealings of the former president and his company. In a statement, Trump said he followed the advice of his counsel to assert his right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to not answer questions.
Number three.
The Justice Department says an Iranian national plotted to assassinate at least two former Trump administration officials in what it described as a likely retaliation for the 2020 killing of a prominent Iranian general. A criminal complaint unsealed Wednesday said 45-year-old Shahram Forsafi tried to kill former National Security Advisor John Bolton by offering to pay an individual in the U.S. $300,000. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was also notified he was an intended target. Firefighters are battling a wildfire in southwestern France in a region that was ravaged by flames last month. The blaze forced the evacuation of about 8,000 people and destroyed at least 16 houses. A major highway near Bordeaux was closed yesterday afternoon due to the fire raging nearby. More than 23 square miles have burned in the wine-producing region. United Airlines has a $10 million deposit for 100 electric flying taxis, a sign that the airline is growing more confident in the emerging technology. United and a regional airline it partners with last year invested in Archer Aviation and struck an agreement to buy up to 200 of the flying taxis that the company is developing. The aircraft being developed by Archer take off and land vertically like helicopters. Airlines hope they'll be able to zip customers around cities, whisking them over congested highways to and from hub airports while reducing carbon emissions.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Jen.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Thursday. Workout gear, swimsuits, bras, and other items once taboo for the secondhand racks are now widely available as shoppers get more comfortable with wearing what someone else once did. But Suzanne Kapner, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says not everyone's tolerance is the same. One person's great find is another's gross out. Suzanne, explain.
Well, clearly as prices are rising, consumers, you know, are becoming, you know, more price sensitive, and previously owned goods are less expensive than new goods. You know, Lululemon's previously owned yoga pants, you know, are selling at a big discount to what you'd pay for new pants. So that has been an appeal for sure.
All right. As somebody pointed out in your story, it can come down to how much ick a particular item has. What does that mean?
It means, you know, these items, you know, were skin to skin with somebody else, especially when you're talking about like workout clothes that somebody sweated in. You know, you have to kind of overcome that gross factor of thinking that somebody sweated in these clothes before. And, you know, yes, they're these clothes are thoroughly cleaned. you know, either in, you know, industrial grade washing machines, they use sometimes this process that uses liquefied CO2, carbon dioxide. It really permeates the fabric and sucks out all the grease, stains, and bacteria. But still, you know, I think mentally it's like a little bit of a hurdle for some people to get over.
Which is kind of interesting because, as was pointed out in your story, we fairly comfortably go to a hotel room, right, where sheets have been washed and we're sleeping in somebody else's sheets in theory.
Sure, absolutely. You know, we eat off plates at a restaurant that have been used by other people. And so for certain categories, we're kind of used to this, but, you know, it's just like a newer thing for clothing, for shoes, for, you know, somebody I talked to bought a previously owned nightgown. I mean, we're just not, we haven't been that accustomed to wearing certain garments that were previously owned. So right. It's just kind of getting used to that idea.
We're speaking with Suzanne Kapner, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Used Lululemon Yoga Pants, Shoppers Overcome the Ick Factor. How big is that secondary market or that secondhand market?
Well, it's expected to grow this year to $43 billion. That's up quite a bit from last year when it was about $35 billion.
Typically, how much of a discount might you expect on a particular item? Half off? More?
You know, the Lululemon, the previously owned yoga pants, I think were selling for around $45. If you were buying them new, you'd be paying $88. So it's quite a difference.
And then, but some people draw the line, right? Maybe yoga pants, okay. But some person in your story said something along the lines of no bathing suits, no pajamas, no lingerie. Why? Where do we draw the line, I guess?
It's, you know, it seems to be a very personal thing. As I talk to people, everybody had a different line. And some people were okay with wearing used bathing suits. Other people weren't. You know, we've seen Kim Kardashian posing. There's a very famous picture of her posing in a vintage Chanel bikini. And so it is becoming more mainstream, but not for everybody.
All right. So extending from the skin, I guess, a little bit, what about things like used handbags?
You know, handbags, I think, have a better chance of overcoming the ick factor because they're not necessarily touching your skin. But I was talking to the owner of Fashion File, which is a luxury resale marketplace, and she was saying that they get all kinds of things or turns in for resale. You know, it could be sure as they once found a set of baby teeth in a little plastic baggie in a side pocket. And so they really do have to go through every bag, you know, every nook and cranny, and they use a mini vac to vacuum out all traces of the previous owner.
Thanks, Suzanne. Suzanne Kapner, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
No fear. Just facts. This is America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, August 11. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Due to inflation, prices were up to a certain extent last month in categories like food, but not in gas. Still no word from the feds about the unprecedented raid on Trump's home in Florida. Social Security checks next year could jump by about 9%. A federal judge says Walgreens helped exacerbate the opioid epidemic in San Francisco by failing to stop suspicious orders. Disney now has more subscribers to its streaming platforms than Netflix. And the cave explorers who found a dog missing for 2 months and then helped with a reunion. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Filling up at the gasoline pump may still be a painful experience, but the hurt appears to be fading day by day. AAA says the national average has fallen below $4 a gallon for the first time since March. As of this morning, it's now $3.99. The reasons behind the fall, from Tom Cloza, energy analyst at Oil Price Information Service. Tom, why is it happening?
It's happening because the wholesale price drop basically surpassed the retail price drop. So even though you see that futures markets are wobbling a little bit higher, most of the retail prices are still playing catch up. So we had enough momentum to go through DiMaggio's record of 56 in a row, and we'll probably get into the 60s unless we get some panic buying out there. So below four, the median price is actually considerably below that, about 383. And there's about two-thirds of the country that can easily buy for less than $4. A few $2.99s out there as well.
Why? So why is the wholesale price down? Back up then.
Well, you know, if you're on the bookends of the country, on the West Coast or in the Northeast, supply is still very, very tight. And they use reformulated gasoline in many of the big markets there. And it's a little bit scarce. We're not getting as much from Europe as we were. The good news is that so far we've been threading the needle for heat waves, hurricanes, and Mr. Putin hasn't done any of his mischief lately for Europe. So we're in a little bit better shape, but fingers are crossed going forward.
I thought at one time you had talked about $6 a gallon for gas on average. We never quite got there, but is that still on the table?
You know, it's still on the table. If we get something similar to Ida last year, it's certainly, you know, kind of the main table. If we get something like Hurricane Harvey a few years ago that knocks out a tremendous amount of refining capacity. Without a hurricane, I'd say it's not likely. But some of the big banks are thinking that, you know, the price that we pay on Labor Day may be lower than the price we pay at the end of the year, because they think that crude oil may go back up to $120 or more. And, you know, there's some sense to that argument. They're not just arguing their positions.
Okay, so what does Labor Day weekend look like? Is it too far out to tell?
Without a storm, I think we can expect what we're seeing now. We're going to slow down the rate of reduction in prices here based on, you know, a drawdown in gasoline stocks that was reported. But I think, you know, what you're paying today may be very similar to what you're paying on Labor Day, unless we get a tropical system in the Gulf of Mexico. Then you can move up in increments of 5, 10, 25 cents a gallon.
We're speaking with Tom Cloza. He's the global head of energy analysis at Oil Price Information Service, and we're talking about falling gas prices. But this year, though, I mean, you probably know this off the tip of your tongue, but like this year has been just insane for gasoline prices, ups and downs.
Yeah, it has been. But then if you look at it from other perspectives, the prices were actually higher versus incomes and other measurements back in 2008. So this one hasn't quite reached that level. The problem is people react to gasoline prices not as though they're being modeled by Wall Street, but they react with vitriol and anger and angst. And that was probably at an all-time high in June and in the early part of July.
With gas prices as high as they were at one point, did we decide to drive less? Is there evidence of that? And that perhaps brought the price down?
A little bit. I mean, part of it was the sales of crude oil from the strategic reserves. That's part. I mean, Biden bashers won't acknowledge that, and it is a gambit because it may haunt us when the sales stop in October. But part of it has been demand destruction. We think demand destruction was about 9% or so in July, people driving less. And, you know, the COVID effects are still lingering. We just don't have the commuting traffic that we used to. As someone who spent a lot of time in congestion in New Jersey, that's a good thing, but not because of COVID.
Right. If there were a ceasefire announced tomorrow in Ukraine, what does that do to the price of gas?
I think we would see a ricochet reaction where prices would drop. and stock prices would go up in a more insane fashion than they've moved up in the last few weeks.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Kloza from Oil Price Information Service.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we have a couple of sports stories to tell you about this morning. Let's start in Cincinnati, where the Bengals football stadium is one of the few holdouts that didn't have a corporate name sponsor, known simply as Paul Brown Stadium for the past 22 years. The team announced this week that the venue will now be known as Paycor Stadium, joining the Pittsburgh Steelers in abruptly selling the naming rights to their longtime home to a company that most people have never heard of. So why did the Bengals all of a sudden feel like they needed to sell their stadium name to Paycor? According to people on social media, it's probably because they are soon going to need to pay their star quarterback, Joe Burrow. The joke started with NFL Network's Rich Eisen, who tweeted, "Paycor exists because the Bengals are prepping to pay Joe." Other users joked that Paycor was busy setting up direct deposits straight into Joe Burrow's account. Another wrote that the Bengals need help to Paycor Burrow because the Bengals are pay poor.
Ah.
Yes, like
maybe,
that.
Maybe Paycor should change his name to Pay Joe.
Right.
That would help things
to
a certain extent.
Again, it sort of illustrates why they're doing this, because most people have not heard of Paycor, but of course now everybody will have heard of Paycor, right? Because they're on a huge stadium.
Yeah, I just saw a story the other day about some of the football stadiums that are still holdouts.
Right? Yeah.
Lambeau Field.
Right.
Soldier
one.
Field, I think, too.
Yeah, Soldier
right
Field's still there, yes.
Mm-hmm. Might be a couple of others, but there are not many.
Not many, no.
Especially with Cincinnati falling by the wayside here.
They're dwindling down. And if you're like most 23-year-olds, you are rarely more than a few inches from your cell phone. However, you should still be aware that there are a few places where phones are not welcome. Among them, Major League Baseball fields. That's why one Pittsburgh Pirates infielder has been getting some attention this week. In the fourth inning of a 6-4 loss to the Diamondbacks in Phoenix on Tuesday night, Rodolfo Castro slid headfirst into third base, and while his body stopped, his phone did not, sliding out of his pocket and onto the infield dirt. The incident sparked Pirates manager Derek Shelton to have a chat with Castro about leaving his phone behind, if for no other reason than it's against the rules for players or coaches to have phones on them during games for fear that the devices could be used to steal signs from opposing players. Now, after the game, Castro expressed remorse for the incident, maintaining that it was very unintentional. Still, Major League Baseball is investigating.
Imagine that on second base. Bring, bring. Yeah. Hey, honey, can I call you back?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me finish this inning.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, especially after the whole Astros debacle a few years ago, they are very much, everybody's antennas are up about any kind of electronic device or anything that could possibly give you an edge when it comes to stealing signs.
He might be up for some sort of being a pitch man for cell phone covers.
Right.
If he slid on his rear end, the thing comes flying out, it survived the dirt from the infield, perhaps,
right,
or whatever.
Takes a licking, keeps on taking, that kind of thing.
Also, in his defense, maybe his vision is not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can't see the third base coach and signs from the coach, like steal, go halfway, whatever. Come around to score third base. Right? Maybe he's got to check his phone.
All right. Well, if he ever says he has to go to in front of the commissioner about this, you can be his lawyer.
Oh, man. Thank you, Mike. In morning radio, we have a special relationship with coffee. But even then, I've never considered myself a connoisseur. I just like coffee. But Trade Coffee changed my mind. Now, I enjoy it on a new level. It starts with the quiz online at drinktrade.com. In just a few minutes, they found a roast for me and shipped it fresh. Mine was from Orin's in New York. I chose dark roast and told the quiz that I'm pretty new to all this. Now, it's my go-to when I walk out the door at 3 a.m. But chances are my perfect cup isn't the same as yours. That's the genius of Trade Coffee. Their expert tasters can turn your quiz answers into the best cup you've ever brewed. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping, when you go to drinktrade.com/Gordon. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/Gordon and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. A recent report from the online wedding marketplace The Knot found experiences and virtual gifts like gift cards to Airbnb and Delta were some of the most popular registry gifts in 2021. Avid travelers are saying basically getting away is more appealing than a KitchenAid mixer or a set of china. Esther Lee, deputy editor of The Knot, tells USA Today that pent-up travel demand among couples who had to postpone their honeymoons due to COVID has helped boost the popularity of these gifts. She says travel demand is high and that the desire for these mega moons is up. Mega moons are these hugely lavish honeymoons. The Knot found 7 of every 10 couples in 2021 were registering for cash gifts. That's up 10% from the previous year. They include gift cards or destination-specific experiences, such as a snorkel tour in Hawaii or a private gondola ride in Venice. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
3 people were killed when a house exploded in Evansville, Indiana yesterday afternoon. At least 39 houses were damaged, and it's not clear how many were occupied at the time of the blast. This neighbor rushed to the scene to help victims.
There was a female already rendering aid to one person on the ground, and I started to help her, and the police came up. Naturally, they issued me out of the way.
The cause of the explosion has not been determined.
Number two.
The director of the FBI had strong words for supporters of former President Trump who have been using violent rhetoric in the wake of his agency's search of Trump's Florida home. Christopher Wray, who was appointed by Trump in 2017, called threats circulating online against federal agents and the Justice Department deplorable and dangerous.
Violence against law enforcement is not the answer, no matter what anybody's upset about or who they're upset with. And I think we have in this country had over the last few years an alarming rise in violence against law enforcement.
Wray declined to answer questions about the search Monday by FBI agents of Trump's Palm Beach resort.
Number three.
The pace of inflation price increases slowed in July as energy costs drop, pulling annual inflation down slightly. The Consumer Price Index, a measure of what consumers pay for goods and services, rose 8.5% in July from the same month a year ago, down from 9.1% in June. Art Hogan is chief market strategist with B. Riley Wealth.
Inflation moving in the right direction. We got through earnings season without a blow up, and we certainly have a strong labor market, and the market seems to be applauding all of that.
Stocks rallied on the better-than-expected report, with the Dow Industrials up 535. The number of teens who say they are chronically online has nearly doubled since 2015, according to a new survey from Pew Research Center that also illustrates how rapidly the competitive landscape for social media is changing. YouTube is the most popular platform among U.S. teens, with 95% saying they use the site. TikTok is used by about 67% of those between 13 and 17. Almost half say they are online almost constantly, a jump from the 24% who reported similar behavior in 2015.
Oh my goodness. Put down the devices. Thank you, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for joining us. Spelunkers in Missouri have discovered a missing dog inside a cave nearly 2 months after the pup disappeared. Rick Haley, one of the rescuers who located the dog while caving in Perry County, told Fox 2 Kansas City that he was inside the Tom Moore cave system overseeing a sump pump. When he was alerted to the dog named Abby, the cave system, by the way, is about 24 miles long. Mr. Haley, a trained cave rescuer, wrote on Facebook that he and his team placed the dog in a duffel bag with her head sticking out to protect her and the rescuers, anticipating she might struggle. He says they moved her 500 feet to a very tight, awkward, vertical climb, handing her hand to hand upward to the surface. After reaching the surface, rescuers went door to door knocking until they were able to reunite the pup with her owners. Rescuers said it was completely dark inside the cave, and while it was unclear how Abby survived for so long, there was a presence of running water and fish and crustaceans inside the cave. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.